Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:36, and that is Pacific Summer Time, and today is May 17th. Well, today there were two sort of, this was a market that was characterized by a dichotomy where you have oil prices rallying but stock markets pulling back, or at least easing back. And then you have to look at, you know, what is it exactly that's holding this market up? We've had the S&P rally impressively off the January low, then it encountered resistance in the region of the previous peak, and it's been unwinding that overbought condition, and it has paused in the region of 2050. And you had a fairly impressive rally yesterday, but not enough to really chasten the bears, and then the market pulled back by about 1% in here today, and it was a bit more than 1% on the Nasdaq, a bit less than 1% on the S&P 500, but by and large about 1%. And then if you look at the internals of the market, the resources sector has been the best performer this year. If you look at the individual subsectors of the S&P, it was the gold shares, but there's only one share in the S&P 500 that is a gold share. That's Newmont Mining. That's up about 100% this year. Then, by and large, it's the resources sector, materials, and oil, with the exception of oil refining. But, of course, the oil refiners had been just soaring into the end of last year on lower oil prices. So the crack spread was very much in their favor. And now oil prices continue to rally. So Brent was up an additional 50 cents in here today, and WTI up 80 cents. And this has been a remarkably orderly rebound, where reactions, and we've had four of them, have been limited to between $5 and $6. So a break in the progression of higher reaction lows, and a reaction of greater than $6, and more likely around $7, would really be required to confirm that supply has returned to dominance in here. And there have been some fairly substantial outages, and not least the continued wildfires in Canada and some strife in Nigeria. But at the same time, we also know that the higher prices go, the greater the incentive is to accelerate repairs, sort out one's differences, and to try and increase supply, because it becomes more economic the higher prices go. And Saudi Arabia certainly wants to pump at capacity, for the simple reason that it really does come down to just this reason. The last thing they want is their arch nemesis in the region, Iran, to gain a greater proportion of the global market for oil, not least because the two countries are fighting an outright or a proxy war on three different fronts right now. So Saudi Arabia really does have a vested interest to pump as much as it possibly can. Well, against that background, where it is oil prices that are holding up this market, if oil does indeed pull back, then the likelihood of an additional pullback on Wall Street would be bolstered. And the S&P 500 closed out the day below 2050. So additional follow-through on the downside tomorrow would confirm would at least suggest that we are going to have a somewhat larger reaction, and that the reaction to date really has been very mild. 50 points on a 2100 point index is a pretty mild pullback, and then you need a clear upward dynamic again tomorrow, just like we had on Monday, to check potential for additional downside. And it really does all hinge on what the likelihood is that there's going to be additional movement from the Fed in June or potentially in July. Well, we had somewhat better economic data out of the US today, and Fed governors, there's certainly indecision on the board, and I think that it is probably correct to say that Janet Yellen is the biggest dove on the board, but there's an increasing number of people saying that they will not rule out the potential that they're going to raise rates at least once and potentially twice this year. Well, the bond market isn't pricing that in at all. bond market doesn't seem to think there's any likelihood of the Fed raising rates in less than a month. And then that represents a potential surprise for markets in the event that it were to occur. And the Fed obviously has data on wage growth that we don't have, because it's only updated once a quarter, and then it's updated with a quarter lag. So there's no way that we can look at wage growth as a forward indicator, but it might well be a coincident indicator. Wages broke out in November and the Fed raised rates in December. So then if wages, considering that, just about all other things are equal. The unemployment rate has decreased, employment has increased, the economy is growing, and the thing that the Fed is probably most aware of is that they do not want inflation. So because that would necessitate much higher interest rates, and then that would have an impact on the ability of to refinance all the debt they're holding on their balance sheet. So they want to maintain very moderate inflation, unless, of course, they're going to go for take, I guess, what could be considered extraordinary measures to unwind the size of their balance sheet. But that's probably a discussion for another day. So if they see wages going higher, then that would suggest that inflation is moving higher, and that's something they probably don't want. So they would raise rates just like they did in December. So we can see that the market, any time there is speculation that they may raise rates, stocks ease. And every time there's speculation they will not raise rates, stocks advance. And that's evidence that this remains a liquidity-fueled rally, but that the market remains very susceptible or sensitive to interest rate expectations. So this really is worth considering. When we look at stocks, we do have to keep an eye on bonds. And the US Treasury today was pretty much unchanged. But we do know that yields are very low, and that what we really should be looking at are 12-month yields and 2-year yields. And of course, because interest rates are so low everywhere else, particularly in Europe and Japan, where you have a substantial quantity of government bonds trading at negative yields, and even in the corporate bond markets there are very low yields, then the relative allure of US Treasuries on the long end has been bolstered, which has decreased yields. But if interest rates are going to rise on the short end of the curve, that's going to flatten the yield curve. It's already below 100 basis points. And in the event that it were to go negative at some point in the next year or year and a half, well, that would portend that we're going to have some form of recessionary environment a year after that. So it is what happens in the bond markets is increasingly important, and considering that it's been a bull market for the last 35 years, and in fact it's more like we're in the middle of 2016, so it's 36 years, this is actually the time to really pay more attention to the bond market, not less attention. And then if we look at the currency markets, the dollar was relatively stable in here today. And it was a little bit firmer against commodity currencies, not least the Canadian dollar and the Australian dollar. And it was a little bit, it was relatively unchanged against the euro. But the pound was a bit firmer because polls are beginning to suggest that the UK will not vote to leave the European Union. And that really has been a headwind for the pound against just about all currencies, and then there is potential for a further unwind of what has been a very sharp pullback for the pound. And I think with that I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.